What a fantastic song. I just love those words and the gift of that song to us. He is worthy. Well, some of us are old enough to remember the 1992 Olympics. It was the year the United States basketball team were nicknamed the Dream Team. All right. Pardon me. So they were the first American Olympic team to feature any active professional players from the NBA. And so there was great excitement. The journalists at the time, one of them described the Dream Team as the greatest collection of basketball talent on the planet. It included household names that we know now, Michael Jordan, some people still wear the shoes, and Magic Johnson. And sure enough, those Barcelona Olympics in the summer of 92, the team defeated its opponents by an average of 44 points every match en route to the gold medal. 44 points. That's amazing. A dream team. It's what you want, isn't it, from a dream team? Outstanding talent and the ability to deliver the results you're after. That's what we want. Isn't it, Jesus? You're building a team for the kingdom. What are you after? How did he go about building a kingdom dream team? We're going to pick up today. We've got a morning series where we picked up again from Luke's gospel. We went through Luke chapter 4 and 5 last year. We picked up just before chapter 6, and we're going to follow through. And today we're thinking about building a kingdom dream team and watching how Jesus went about it, okay? So he's launched his mission and his manifesto. He's been healing people, causing a stir with the religious types, calling a few people to him. And as Becca showed us last week, Jesus making it clear, the king's around. And it's different. The outlook, your outlook on life can be different because the king's around. And he's calling the shots and showing us how life can be. And it's not a question of patching this new life onto my existing life or bolting it on in some way. It's a whole new way of being and life with the king. The king who dares to do good things on the Sabbath and heal people and cause trouble with the leaders. So the kingdom's at hand. It's here. It's within reach. How is the king going to build a kingdom dream team? Let's read from Luke chapter 6, verse 12 to 16. All right, Luke chapter 6, verse 12 to 16. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them. And he also designated apostles. Simon, whom he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. Now, that's where Luke... I'm going to pause there. It's worth saying there's a wider group of followers or disciples, but Jesus, just as any Jewish rabbi or teacher of his day, would choose 12 apprentice learners who will enter deeply, a deep sharing of life with him, follow him, live with him. And it's not just what Jesus teaches, but his way of life, his attitude towards others, his approach to meals, his spiritual practices and customs. They follow close and learn from him, walk his way. But he chooses 12 out of the wider group. And we think we know who the 12 are. Well, until you start to name them. And one of the surprising things is the names are not the same in the every list as you go through the different gospels and so on. And I can save you about an hour and a half study and everything. But, you know, Thaddeus in Mark and Matthew, well, he's called Judas, son of James, here in Luke. And there's strong evidence that Bartholomew is the same as Nathanael, the one who Philip introduces to Jesus, the one, Nathanael, who recognizes Jesus as the Son of God and King. Okay, these are the 12 chosen by Jesus. So, a dream team? full of outstanding talent and able to deliver the results that you require? Question mark. How did Jesus go about putting together the team, and what kind of team is he looking for? Let's just have a look at that for a few moments. And I'm going to lean into the distinctive things that come out of Luke's few verses here. It starts with God, and it starts with prayer. Now, that sounds obvious, but Luke's the one, all of them, who makes sure we get that. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray, and he spent the night praying to God. You know, even in his early days of healing and lots of people thronging around, Luke records in chapter 5, verse 16, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. He often withdrew and prayed. And here in this context, he's on an all-nighter. He's seeking God and praying about who the 12 are going to be. And I find that's just amazing. Jesus, he's the Son of God. His baptism says that. His healing and miracles, the word of God says that. He's recognized as God, and yet he has to pray all night for 12. Because he's reliant on the Father. He's modeling for us how it is to be reliant, to listen, to plead with God, to interact with God. Are you sure about this one? The choice of the 12 is only made after seeking God's guidance. And the same is true as you read through Luke's second book. When people are appointed, it comes after the people of God have prayed and sought God and wrestled and interacted. Luke draws that out time and time again because we need to hear it. That's what Jesus did, because it's more about God and what God wants than it is about people and what people want. And it's about God, and it's for God. And it's his choice, it's his wisdom, and praying makes all the difference. All the difference. In fact, I'd encourage you know, the teams you volunteer with in your life, or your colleagues at work on your front line, or the groups you're involved with, pray about the makeup of those groups. You may have nothing to do with officially forming those teams, but you can pray to the King of Kings, and he wants to influence and bring change and work in the lives of people on your team. Pray, because people, it makes a difference. Jesus prays and interacts. You know, I found these last 10 days, or 11 days if you include today, praying for thy kingdom come, this initiative, has just been so refreshing to my prayer life, being invited to pray by people from different streams of the church, to pray in different ways and knowing God in that. So powerful. Let's watch a video. This is about day 6, John Santamu, and I'll show you a little excerpt from his and him praying for 5 people to come to know Jesus. Let's watch this.
I prayed for people, 5 people in that kingdom come last year, and was most astounded when 2 people came to Christ. And they wrote to me to tell me, but I hadn't told them that I was praying for them. This one was so amazing. I hadn't told them. They say, I'm kind of Christian. I've given my life to the Lord, and I've been praying for them. So I put on 2 more. Do you know the good news is? The other 3 also have given their life to Christ. And one of them is now at the moment wondering whether she should become a church warden. And has reconciled themselves to their family. They had actually broken up for a very, very long time. Another one has decided to be a volunteer to go overseas. And another one is actually now helping Sunday school. Now, this is not a long time ago since they became a Christian. And another one is considering the possibility, do you think God may be calling me to lay full-time ministry? And all of them, very varied, very different, actually have found Jesus.
Great, isn't it? We'll just pause it there, and you have to get the app and watch the rest of it and catch up if you haven't seen it. Just, it's this prayer thing. It starts with God, and it's true in every area of your life. People gathered here on Tuesday and went out on walks to pray. And it's like, oh, I can't go out. I'm not going to church. It's just, you know, tired on a Tuesday evening, aren't you? And, oh, it's awkward. What happens when you go out and do these things and all that kind of stuff? But when they got back and they had a cup of tea, they just ended up chatting to each other. And at some stage, we'll have to get some of them just talking about that, because the experience of, like, God God and this part of the town and the people who are here or are going to be here. And we just need to capture some of that. See, it starts with God and it starts with prayer. And that's true for Jesus building this kingdom dream team. Secondly, who's he looking for? What kind of person? Well, I'll say he's looking for those who are saying yes to God. I wouldn't say that happens in every recruitment process in different organizations and companies. You know, who are you after? Well, we want the rising stars in the company or the A-grade students, those who are a catalyst for change and getting the job done. Or maybe we want those people with high people skill and high emotional intelligence. You know, it's high everything, isn't it? We want everything. And we want it all in one person, normally. No, and in the context of a Middle Eastern rabbi and teacher, Jesus, what are you after? Intellectual ability? Family background? Who is it you're raising up? I love the Imagery Management Consultants report on the management profile of the 12 who Jesus chooses, all right? And it draws out on lots of things you can learn from the Gospels about the characters. To Jesus of Nazareth from Jordan Management Consultants, Jerusalem. You with me? Dear sir, thank you for submitting the CVs of the 12 men you have picked for management positions in your new organization. All of them have taken our battery of psychometric tests. We've run the results through the computer, and we've personally interviewed each of them in the presence of our psychologist and vocational consultant. It is the staff opinion that most of your nominees are lacking in background, education, and vocational aptitude for the type of enterprise you are undertaking. They really do not understand the concept of team at all. We would recommend that you continue your search for persons with proven experience and managerial ability. For example, Simon Peter is emotionally unstable and given to bursts of passion and temper. Andrew has absolutely no qualities of leadership. The two brothers, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, place personal interests above company loyalty. Thomas demonstrates a questioning attitude that would tend to undermine morale. We feel that it is our duty to tell you that Matthew has been blacklisted by the Greater Jerusalem Better Business Bureau. James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, definitely have radical leanings and seem to be spoiling for a fight. One of the candidates, however, shows great potential. He's a man of ability and great resourcefulness, meets people well as a keen business mind and has contacts in very high places. He is highly motivated, ambitious, and responsible. We recommend Judas Iscariot as your controller and right-hand man. All of the other profiles are self-explanatory. We wish you every success in your new venture. Sincerely yours, Jordan Management Consultants. You've got to say it. You read the book, you read the Word of God, and you see the list of disciples in this dream team, so-called, are such a mixed bunch of people. You've got fishermen who've run a business. You've got a notorious tax collector cheat. Simon's the zealot. In him, Jesus has appointed a member of the extreme nationalist party who are at the forefront of the troubles with the occupying Roman forces. Duh! And Judas Iscariot. According to Howard Marshall, the most plausible explanation of the name Iscariot is that it comes from the word Sicarius, which means assassin. And he calls him traitor, doesn't he? I don't know if you picked that up. That's Luke's unique take. It's a mixed bunch, all walks of life, different personalities, different backgrounds, different expectations, different ways of working. It sounds like the church, doesn't it? But what is it Jesus is looking for? If I think about Simon Peter, James and John, it's that yes. It's the Oh, your Lord, I'm coming, count me in. It's that belief and faith he's looking for. You think, I mentioned Nathaniel or Bartholomew. John chapter 1, Philip introduces him. When he meets Jesus, he's astonished that Jesus knows him just from seeing him. Standing under a tree, knows all about him, and he's amazed. And he says, you're the Son of God, teacher. He recognizes the teacher and the Son of God. And it's like, yes, Jesus. It's that, that's what he's looking for. See, be encouraged. The team has gone wider than that initial dream team. The dream team has gone much wider. And Jesus calls and chooses you too. Your background, your education or your lack of it, your expectations, your personality, whatever you're going to put on the list won't rule you out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love Peter and John, the account in Acts chapter 4. And they've healed a lame man because they're filled with the Spirit. And the authorities are thinking about it and talking about them. And they say, just unschooled, ordinary people. And they took note that these men have been with Jesus. That's all it takes. Unschooled, ordinary people. But people notice they're changing. Because they're closer to Jesus and spending some time with him. See, that's the key, to get close enough to him, to meet him through his living word, to the extent you can say, yes, you're the Son of God and I'm in. And as you start to follow him, he says, yeah, walk this way. Walk this way and start to do life deeply with him and those he's put around you. There's space for you. There's space for you. His love is longing for you to submit your life afresh or for the very first time today. Say, yes, Jesus, I believe. And I'm following you by your grace and your power. Jesus prays because it starts with God, and he's looking for those who say yes to Jesus. And he fills us up and sends us out. He does. He fills us up and sends us out. Luke. He draws out, he uses this phrase that you won't find in Matthew or Mark or John. He talks about them whom he designated apostle. He likes that apostle's word. You know, many disciples, but these 12. He's got 12 in particular. He's going to send them out on a mission. Matthew, that's what happens straight after this bit. 12 go. They're going to heal, announce the kingdom, deliver people, and then come back and report. They're going to learn on the job. Luke's the one who said he designated them apostles. His sequel to Luke's gospel should be called Luke 2, right? That's obvious, isn't it? But it's called the Acts of the Apostles instead. Because we look at it and think it should be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because you're just amazed at what God the Holy Spirit does through people and then the spread of the good news about Jesus that God does. But no, it's called the Acts of the Apostles, and that's significant. Because that name means they're sent ones. They're pioneers. They are the seed group who carry the continuation of the kingdom work of the king when the king have ascended into heaven to the most powerful place ever. They're the seed group. They embody the kingdom work of Jesus after he's been raised to life and gone to be with his Father. So here we are. Yes, they had their mission. They come back full of joy. And in Acts, they're the sent ones. And they embody it. So others who are filled with the Spirit also are sent. And so it spreads. Even in Luke, the 12 then become 72. Jesus, in one of his resurrection appearances, he said, as the Father sent me, I am sending you. So I am sending you. He's commissioning and sending. So he designated them apostles. Commissioning and sending, and he still does that with 21st century apostles, 21st century disciples of Jesus become sent ones, sent by the sent one. And that's you and me. Pentecost, that room, it started with God. It started with prayer. people who'd said yes to Jesus in the midst of a really difficult scenario. They were scared, witless, scared out of their lives. And those designated apostles, Luke tells us, they're there praying. There's 11 of them, not 12 at this point. And about 100 others. God comes, and we enacted that out so differently, so beautifully earlier on. And the power, they've been waiting in hope for God to come. He says, you know, wait, and you'll be filled with power and you'll be my witnesses. And that's what happens, and God comes and he filled them and sends them out. And it's powerful. They tumble out onto the street. They've left the prayer room. God, he wants to do that afresh in every generation, and that includes ours today. Not what he was doing 30 years ago or 20 years ago or 10 years ago, what he wants to do today. Those he's chosen in all his wisdom, those who just have enough to say, yes, Jesus, you're the Son of God and I'm in. He fills up. He fills us up and sends us out. See? Entering the kingdom has nothing to do with your ability or your power or your goodness or whether you're a worthy candidate or not. It's all about God and his grace and his mercy, love that we can never earn and never deserve. That's entering the kingdom and living as part of the kingdom too. And part of the extended kingdom dream team is not about your ability or your power or your goodness or your passion or excitement or lack of it or anything. It's about your response to Christ that just says, yes, I believe. Thank you for cleaning up my life. Thank you for giving me a fresh start. Thank you for setting me free. I'm here. It's about availability. So as we finish, why don't we make that our prayer? We've kind of tried to lean into Luke's particular account of Jesus choosing 12. We won't always understand God's choice of us, or indeed some of the others he places around us. But we're so grateful that in love he's reached out to me, to you, through Jesus, through the powerful working of the Spirit. And we're grateful that day and tomorrow and the next day he fills us up, and we ask him, he fills us up, sends us out to be good news and do good news. I don't know about you, but we need him, don't we? Let's invite the musicians back and we'll make this our response to God. And what I'm going to do is give you a moment just to respond to him, how we need him today, to fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit. We're waiting, God, upon you. We're waiting in hope, in expectant hope that we'll know the joy of the Holy Spirit at work in us again. We're thirsty for you in our lives and more of you in our lives. You thirsty? That he's filling us, guiding us, working through us. I'm going to lead us in a prayer and then we'll just worship. So why don't I invite you now to stand, and in this moment you can make your response to God. We'll have the prayer ministry team here after the service, and you can come and ask for renewal, for healing, for that filling completely. We're going to start the prayer now. We're going to sing the prayer, and then you can come and receive more prayer. Maybe for you, right now, you've been on the edge and you've been looking in on some of this Thy Kingdom Come stuff, and you're like, that's me. Yes, Lord. And you've just been waiting for that opportunity to say yes. I invite you to do that right now, and I'll start a prayer. And you can say that for the very first time. There's nothing counts you out from his love. He died for you. And all he asks is that you turn from all you know is wrong in your life. Say, yes, I believe you're the one. Do that now for the very first time, or do it for the umpteenth time. And then we'll pray. Come fill me. You might like to open your arms if you're comfortable doing that, and just invite the Holy Spirit into your life afresh. Let's pray. First, that prayer. Lord Jesus, I've come to that point where I recognize you are the Son of God and you died to rescue and save me through and through. I now turn from everything I know is wrong in my life and I turn back to you and I say, yes, I believe. I'm in. Thank you that you died for me and that you took all my wrongdoing. Thank you for your forgiveness. I pray now you would fill me with yourself and help me live this new life. We pray for that pouring down. Come down, O love divine. Come, Holy Spirit. Come. Change me. Remold me. Remold me in your image. Fill me where I am empty. Come, O quickening power of God. Fill me anew, I pray. Fill me with yourself for your glory, for your purposes, and in your name, I pray. Fill me and use me, Lord. Amen.